to the book of Psalm. Tonight is we're coming to the conclusion of this series of lessons. I thought it'd be a good subject to end this week talking about the subject of trust. And as we just sang three songs that talks about the subject of trust, and we'll be singing another one in just a few moments. But I think it's very fitting this week as we've looked at several different lessons in looking at God's Word and being able to look at different things and be able to apply more things to our life as we've looked at zeal and we've looked at the importance of being here, as you all have again taken out of your busy schedule this week the time to be able to come together. I know that's not an easy task either, and I appreciate all your support and being able to come often as you can throughout this meeting this week. And we've also looked at subjects of what we need to do, contenders and pretenders, and then we get the subject of the prodigal son. We've looked at several different lessons, and we all kind of just wrapping it up this week, talking about the subject of trust and being trusted. As we look in the book of Psalm, 40th Psalm, verse 4, says, "Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." You know, as a child, as we continue to grow up and get older, we place our trust in a lot of different things. Put our trust in our older family members, parents, grandparents, whoever may be taking care of us. We put our trust in a lot of individuals, and then sometimes we put our trust in our teachers, in being able to give them give them something that we're trying to establish a relationship with. And we trust in certain individuals as we get older and as we're continuing to grow. So many times, as I look into the world today, and I know many of us can look, we see a lack of trust going on. You can't go and seems like, and put your trust in a lot of officials or teachers or whatever it may be. It just seems like it's getting less and less and less. And it's a sad thing to see. These are individuals that, as we're talking about different things about our responsibilities, there are many responsibilities that we need to be taking, and we should be counted as being a trustworthy individual. But we see a lack of that in today's world. As people want to go and just kind of the first thing they want to do is just, well, I can't trust individuals, so I'm just going to just kind of be so happy and take away whatever I can from some individuals. It just seems like it's a harder thing to be able to place our trust in some individuals, and even our family, it gets hard to be able to place our trust in all these different individuals. You read about it, you see about it everywhere on the media about this problem. We just recently had this election. You know, there's a lot of people that take a lot of public offices that people put their confidence in, put their trust in by giving them their vote. But sometimes they're not really that trustworthy. We see a lot of scandals going on, and you know, it seems like every year you always read about some instance, a teacher that has decided to have relations with a student, and that's something you can't put your trust in individuals today. It's a sad thing to see. It's even harder to be able to trust our leaders, as we were just pointing out. They've proven themselves that by their actions and by the way that they live and how they've decided to conduct themselves, that they can't be trusted. But a strong amount of trust is still needed today. We may not be able to put it in such individuals, but as a Christian, there is a strong amount of trust that we do need in this life. Especially when we look at our life with God, this is an important aspect of things that we need to be able to put our trust in with God. As we're going to be looking tonight, it's a two-way relationship. It's a two-way relationship where we talk about our relationship with God, and we need trust in our life with God. We need God, in fact. Without God, we have no hope of eternal life. Paul spoke about this if we go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Looking at verse 19. Philippians chapter 4, looking at verse 19, it says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply all things for us. God will take care of all things. God can and will supply the need that we have in this life. We can say, just looking at that verse, that that takes a lot of trust. The question is, where do we place our trust? Again, as we're going to be looking tonight, it's a two-way relationship where we're placing our trust in God, and then as well, it's got to go right back this turn, 180-degree turn. We have to be counted as being trustworthy. You know, are we willing to place our trust in God? And I want to consider this just for a few moments tonight, and I want to ask the first question. It's just two simple points. First question, can we trust God? God has promised many things and has always delivered out on the promises that he makes. If we go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, we were looking at this verse at the beginning of the week. In 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verse 9. Says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. Peter's trying to point out right here in this verse, God makes a promise, and he's going to keep it. He is not slack in talking about his promise and the promises that he makes. We need to trust in God that when God makes a promise, he keeps it. We have to put our trust in God that he'll always carry out on his promises. I want you to consider, we'll be looking at a couple different examples, but think about the Old Testament just for a moment. I want you to think about the children of Israel, especially with the conquest of Canaan. As we look in the first few books of the book of Genesis, from the book of Exodus all the way up to the book of Joshua, we see a lot about this conquest of Canaan, where Moses takes control, Joshua takes control of the children of Israel, and tries to lead them into the promised land. When we read these verses, we can see God makes a promise, makes several promises throughout these few books in the Old Testament. And when he makes a promise, he kept it. He delivered. We think about how in the beginning with Abraham, what did he say? I'm going to make your seed a great nation. What happened? God made the children of Israel a great nation. It all started with Abraham. And then you think about God has a strict command for obedience. And we look at this in the book of Leviticus and the law that he has given. And we see all the different types of things that he points out in the law. And then he said, if one disobeys, this is going to happen. When one disobeyed, he took control. He punished people for their disobedience. He wanted people to be able to trust in him and know that he was not slack concerning his promises. We need to place our trust in God and his Son. If we go over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 6, you can place a marker here. We'll be coming back here in just a few minutes. In Hebrews chapter 11, looking at verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to trust God and his Son. Can we trust that Jesus is the Son of God? We have the scripture in pointing out that yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Can we trust that? Can we trust that he will reward, that God will reward those who what? Who diligently seek him, who take an active approach in wanting to seek him out. God promises a reward for those who obey his will. Do we trust that we can have that eternal home, that God will take care of those things if we remain faithful to him and his will? We can be a blessed nation, a blessed individual. If we go back to the book of Psalm, this time in Psalm 84. Psalm 84, beginning with verse 11. Psalm 84, beginning with verse 11, says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Those that put their trust in God, they're blessed individuals. Those that continue to live a life that God desires, they'll be blessed. God is our protector. God, it will give us the grace and mercy that we need. But blessed is the man who will put his trust in the Lord. God has promised as well that he will take vengeance on those who do not know him and who do not obey him. If we go back to the New Testament in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Looking at verse 19. Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 19. He says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." God has said that he will take vengeance on those who disobey him. If we trust one, if we trust that God will reward us, we were just pointing out just a few moments ago, Hebrews 11, 6. If we trust that God will reward those who obey his will and those that diligently seek him, we have to trust the other. The fact that those that do not diligently seek him, those that do not know God, those that have decided to be a more of a wedge in the world rather than be someone that helps and continues to help one another obey God. God says, "I will take the vengeance. You don't need to be worrying about such things. Vengeance is mine, I will repay." God will take the vengeance on those who are not willing to obey God. If God can offer an eternal reward, God can also offer eternal punishment. There is a place made for both said individuals. Can we trust in God that that is true? I hope we can look at, for instance, in some of the examples that we'll be looking at considering just for a few moments tonight, as we see that God will take care, that we will place our trust in God, that he does take care and he lives up to the promises that he makes. This trust that we're talking about is also called faith. Plain and simple. We all know, should all know pretty much what faith is, the meaning of faith. If we trust God, then we can and will follow by faith. If we go back to the book of Hebrews again, this time in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, looking at verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10, looking at verse 38. Says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." If we trust God, then we can and will follow by faith. As it's written right here by the Hebrew author, as we look at really these two chapters, chapter 10 and chapter 11, there's a lot pointed out about the subject of faith and many different examples. The just will live by faith. Those that trust in God, they'll live faithful to God. They're placing their trust in that he will provide, he will take care of all things. And this trust for us today is built by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We put our trust in God, we're putting our trust in his Word as we have it right here at our fingertips to realize how powerful God is and what God has offered to us. We just got to take it to heart and put our faith and trust in this. Just staying there in Hebrews chapter 11, look at the examples that are mentioned here. We begin off, verse 4, by faith Abel. By faith Abel. Another, next verse, by faith Enoch. By faith Noah, verse 7. By faith Abraham. Keep on going, verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Sarah. We continue on looking in next few verses. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Just look at all those different examples. What starts each one? I didn't read all the verses just to begin off right here. But look at all those examples. What happened? By faith. Now let's look again. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, when he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch, verse 5, was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah also received strength, conceived seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Then we get down to verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commands. These individuals right here put their trust in God. Each one of them, as we look, as the Hebrew author is reflecting on the lives that they lived, he starts off by faith, meaning by trust. God took care of them. They put their trust in God, and God took care of them. As we look, some of the individuals, they offered their best to God. They were living a godly life. They were doing whatever they could to be found faithful to God. All these individuals were putting their trust in God. Just like looking at these examples, as we can call this chapter, the champions or heroes of faith. Just like as we look at these examples of faith, that these individuals put their faith in God, we must trust God that He will provide, He will take care of us. If we remain faithful to God, if we obey His will, we will be taken care of. We could be remembered by our family and by our brethren in Christ of how the life that we lived, and we lived it by faith, by putting our trust in God, by living a life with godly fear. You know, we just asked a question of, can God trust us? Now, if I'm sitting here and I'm pointing at Brother Schultz, said, Brother Foltz, can I trust you? You know, we always like to point that finger, and I know many of us know this, but what happens when you point that one finger? You got three of them right here pointing right back at you. It seems like the way our hand was made, and by the way we point, something was trying to be said to us that we need to trust ourselves more than putting our trust on what we got to be counted as being a trustworthy individual. The second question, as we look at this tonight, talking about study of being trust. About trust, can God trust us? We need to trust God and His will. As we were just reading several verses, I hope in looking at this and being able to, especially looking at Hebrews chapter 11, seeing all these different examples of faith, we can see that we can trust God. There is no doubt that we can trust God. Now again, we were talking about this, a two-way relationship. Can God trust us? Can He trust us? This is a great question to ask ourselves, to be able to personally look at ourselves and say, yeah, we can trust God. Well, now can God trust us? Can God trust us enough to seek and follow Him? If we go back to Acts chapter 17, verse 27. Says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. Can God trust us enough to seek and follow His will? Do we want God? That's the first question. If we want God to be able to trust us, we got to be wanting God, as this verse is pointing out. If we trust God, we need to give our trust back to God for that everlasting life that He has promised to His faithful workers, in the hope that we might grow for Him, we might find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. We need to seek God and His kingdom first. We've been using this verse several times in our lessons this week in Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." We need to seek God and His kingdom first, making that our first and top priority. If we're seeking the Lord and we're wanting the Lord, that should ignite that zeal. As we were talking on Sunday morning, the very first lesson that we looked at, the subject of zeal. If we're wanting the Lord and seeking the Lord, then we got a passion for God. We got a zeal for God, and we should be willing to do whatever it takes to make our heart, make our way right with God. Because in the end, God has rewarded those who will diligently seek Him. We'll be given an account for ourselves. If we go over to Romans chapter 14. I want you to consider thinking about the fact that we should be reminding ourselves that we're going to give an account of ourselves when this life is over. Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. Paul says, "So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God." I want to ask a question. Again, as we're asking this question, can God trust? I'm trying to get us all to be thinking about such things. Can God trust us enough that we will understand the importance of our account given for ourselves? Can God trust us enough of the severity and the importance of what we'll be giving account for ourselves? It's our soul that's on the line. It's our soul that's in jeopardy. Will we realize the importance of this fact that our soul is our most important thing that we have? As we were talking at the beginning of the week, there's either two homes. There's either Broadway or there's the narrow way. Broadway leads to destruction. There's the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Which path are we on? Our soul is what's on the line. Which path are we taking? We're going to give account for ourselves, the good things that we have done and the bad things that we haven't corrected. All things will be brought before God. Do we understand the importance of that? Of how we need to get ourselves on that straight and narrow way? If we go over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 37. Mark chapter 8. Verse 37, it says, "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Is there anything that this world can provide that we'd be willing to exchange our soul for? If the answer is, if we can come up with something, again, we need to kind of take a step back into reality and understand the answer is no. There's nothing that we should be able to sell our soul for. I can remember seeing a cartoon when I was younger. Two kids had some baseball cards. One of them ended up getting his soaked, and he was all upset about it. Well, he wanted the other kid's baseball cards. Well, he didn't want to give them up. Well, I want those baseball cards. Well, you're going to have to give me some money. Oh. Kid goes up to someone else, says, "I'll sell you my soul for $2. Kid does it, writes it down on a piece of paper, says, "This is the soul of so-and-so, $2. And then he goes and gives his money for those two baseball cards. It's a sad thing to think about. We can laugh at that, and it's funny to think about, but there are individuals that'd be willing to sell their soul for $2. People place a price tag on their soul. That's a dangerous thing to be thinking about. If there's anything that we can give in exchange to our soul, we are not showing a good amount of ourselves being trustworthy before God. If we decide that we can sell our soul for X amount of dollars or get this nice car, nice home, or whatever it may be. God cannot trust us because we're not putting our soul first in seeking His will. Again, there are two paths that are available. We were reading this in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And we'll go back there and read these few verses. Matthew chapter 7, beginning of verse 13. Says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There are two paths that are available. There is, as people want to talk about, there is about a gray zone, a middle ground. There is no gray zone. There is no middle ground. There's two paths when it comes to God. There's a way of untrustworthiness, a way that many decide to go on that way. Many try to do that way because it's an easy road. It's a way that many like to follow. And then there's the other way, this narrow way. A way that we can be called trustworthy. A way that we can see that it may be a little bit harder. The reward is greater. Which is our path? Which path are we on? Are we on this untrustworthy way? Or are we going on a trustworthy way? Can God trust us to make the appropriate decision in seeking His will? Can God trust that we will prove our faith in Him? We ask ourselves the question, will we follow His ways? Do we trust in God's Word as being our guide? One of my most favorite verses in the entire Bible is found here in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. The book of Psalms is a very good book. All the books of the Bible are good books today. You know, if there's something that you could kind of start your day off with, go to the book of Psalm. Read one of the Psalms. Seems like every morning as I wake up, first thing I do is go right here to Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97, talking about the beauty and simplicity of God and how great it is to take God's word to heart and put our trust in that. It says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is a lamp for truth in the dangers of sin and the darkness of this world. Darkness has covered this earth by sin. God's word gives more understanding than all the knowledge of man. Think about the most smartest man that we could think of. Einstein, Galileo. Just think about all the different theological and philosophical individuals that people deem as being some of the smartest men alive. Their knowledge is incomparable to God's. How many of those individuals have the knowledge that can give us eternal life? This book that God has given us, His Word, it needs to be our understanding, our focus at all times. The question is, can we make these things possible? Can God count us as being trustworthy? Can God trust us enough to take His Word to heart to read it, to study it, to apply it to our life. We need to be trusted enough to be counted as a worthy individual. It's an eternal home in the end that is on the line. Again, another verse to consider over in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning of verse 22. It says here, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Can we be trusted enough to have this as our everlasting home? There is a way that we can see and read and study that will give us the direction, the necessary direction, to give us this home when this life is over. Can we be trusted to take it to heart? You've been very patient with me throughout this week. I want to draw this lesson to a conclusion tonight. Trust is a very big issue. We can't take it for light. We can't take it lightly. We can't kind of brush it off. Trust is a very big issue for us to take to heart. It's something that we do need, and we must also place in ourselves. Again, trust is a two-way relationship. If I want to be able to count on someone to be trusted, I need to be trustworthy myself. It works both ways. And it's the same way when it comes to God and His will. We need to trust God that He is our rewarder, our creator, our father, and our provider. The list could keep going, but looking at some of these, I mean, we could see that God rewards those who remain faithful. God in the beginning created all things. God is our father. He has created us as well, and He is our provider, giving us the necessary means to be able to have a better relationship with Him, to be able to one day, if we're counted faithful, as having a home where God and His glory is the light. But again, we must be counted as being trustworthy also. It's our soul that is on the line. We'll give account for these said actions. The question is, can we be found trustworthy in God for the everlasting home? Can we be trusted enough to obey His will? We want to help those tonight to better their relationship with God, and the best way that we can better our relationship is by obeying His will. And the opportunity is available right now. Do you trust God that He will take care of all things if we remain faithful and obey His will? Can God trust you tonight? Can God trust you enough to come to an understanding that we need to obey His will or turn back to His will before it's too late? The only way of doing this is by obeying His will tonight. You've been very patient with me throughout this week. Appreciate your kind attention. As we look at this subject of trust tonight, again, it is a very important issue. And there are those here tonight that have not yet obeyed God, and you have a desire to begin a new life in service to God, a life that God can be trusting you, and we can rejoice with you tonight if you need to obey God and His will. If you have a desire to turn to God tonight, what's holding you back? The opportunity is now to obey His will. And if you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins, confess your belief before the congregation here, you can have your sins washed away. You have done the necessary things in trusting in God, and now it's your turn to have God trust you by obeying His will. And if you remain faithful to His will, you can have the hope and promise of eternal life. If you're here tonight and you have fallen back into the ways of the world and you've obeyed and you obeyed the gospel, the opportunity is now to come back to God, to obey His will. If you're willing to recognize your sinful situation, if you're willing to repent of your sins, we can pray for you tonight. And you can begin that life once again as a life that God can be trusting you to obey His will. If you remain faithful, you can have the hope and promise of eternal life. If you need prayers of encouragement, we'll be glad to pray for you, encourage you. Do whatever it takes to be able to help one another reach that everlasting home with God. All you have to do tonight is just come forward. Make your request known, and we'll be glad to assist you. And you have the opportunity to do so now while together, while we stand and while we sing.